going to say this morning, then I'd have to say, from the words of some of the songs that Erica picked this morning, because they were just so fitted in with what I've written down for you this morning, and I'd have to say, you're the only one who can. You'll never let me go. You're worthy. So, so worthy. And it just fitted in. As I was singing the songs, I was thinking it would seem as if Erica and I had sat and talked together and planned, and we haven't. You know, that was God's job. You know, he planned what we would do this morning, and it just fits in together. And even some of the things that Steve has said has just so fitted in. It's almost like, well, you've taken the words out of what I've written down here. But that's God. You know, that's how he plans things. And this morning, you're the only one who can. Have you ever picked up a book? Now, this might be something that I'm the only one that's done, and if it is, then I'll put my hand up. All right. Have you ever picked up a book and then read partway through, and you've perhaps got so into the character in the book that you just cannot wait to see if there is a happy ending? And you flipped to the back of the book to see what happens, just to put your mind at rest that the heroine gets the better at the end. I'm not seeing any. Oh, somebody's nodding their head. Thank you. I'm not the only one. Or is just that something that I would do? I want to know the ending. Sometimes I just want to know the ending. But unfortunately, when it comes to real life, it's not like that. We cannot just go to the back page of our life and see how it turns out. We've actually got to live each day not knowing what tomorrow might bring and just wonder what it will end up like in the end. But you know, when we have Jesus in our life, that wondering about tomorrow takes on a totally different slant. And in fact, we don't really have to do that, because if we believe that our life is in his hands, then we can be assured that whatever happens, we don't have to worry about it. And the other morning, I was sat there having my quiet time in my thinking chair, and I read a sentence written as a one-line prayer that really got me thinking, and it says, "Dear Lord, please help me to follow you past what I can understand." And that made me think, how many times have we been in a situation or a circumstance that we cannot see where it is going to lead us to? Or we feel that the circumstance is so bad that the outcome can only be bad. And I don't know how your mind works, but quite often for me, I think something, and then that thought takes me on a little journey. A thought comes into my head, and no sooner it's in my head, than I feel there's a little prompt from the Holy Spirit that answers my thought. So when I read that sentence, "Dear Lord, please help me to follow you past what I can understand," a word came into my mind, and that word was fear. And all of us experience fear. It can be just a second of fear when we are in like immediate danger. It can be a fear of something specific, like fear of heights, or something tangible like spiders or snakes or something like that. But for many in the world that we live in today, it's a fear of what the future might bring. And how will our circumstance that we are in now come to an end? And fear can be so crippling that it can become worse than the illness or worse than the circumstance. And then when we come to the end of the circumstance and it doesn't work out quite how we wanted it to, when we even feel that our prayer was not answered in the way that we wanted, the situation is so painful and hurtful and we have to struggle through the hurt, can we then pray that prayer, "Please help me to follow you past what I understand"? And you remember the time in Scripture where the disciples were in a boat and a storm arose. And Jesus came to them walking on the water, and he said to Peter, "Come." So Peter steps out of the boat, and to begin with, he's trusting Jesus. And then he sees the storm around him, and he panics and he starts to sink. And he has to cry out to Jesus to help him. And after he saved him, Jesus says to Peter, "Why did you doubt me?" And it tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And if I asked you this morning if you agree with that verse, I'm sure that all of you would say, "Yes, yes, yes, I agree with that verse." So what I want to say this morning is, and what we've already sung about this morning, is God does not change. His promises stand. He loves you with an everlasting love, and there is nothing, nothing, nothing that can separate you from God. In fact, John 10 says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. So no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one." So have there been times for you, there has been for me, where the prayer has been, "God, I can't figure out what you are doing in this." Or even, "God, where are you in this? Because at this moment in time, I'm struggling and I feel very much alone." That might have been your prayer. And this then made me think about lots and lots of examples that God has given us for such a time as this. I thought about Abraham when he was asked to take his son and sacrifice him on an altar. And he went and followed God, even though he didn't understand and the outcome didn't look good. And then God stepped in and provided for him and surprised him. I thought about Joseph and all that had happened to him. How his brothers sold him as a slave. He got flung in prison for something that he didn't do. And he could not see an end to his circumstance. And then God stepped in and provided for him. Turned his circumstances around and surprised him. I thought about the numerous times for the children of Israel. The Red Sea in front of them, the enemy behind them, and it looked like they would die even before they escaped. And then God stepped in and provided for them and surprised them. So many times he sent manna from heaven, brought water from a rock, and at one time even Moses questioned whether God could provide meat for the whole tribe. And God's answer was, Is the Lord's arm too short?" David was chosen by God to be a king, and yet there were times in his life where he cried out to God, "My life is a mess. Please help me." You know, when everything's going great in our lives, it's easy to follow God and be a Christian, isn't it? And sing his praises and shout it from the rooftops. But when the road that you are travelling on and the path before you is full of potholes and heartache and uncertainty, and it feels as if you're in the middle of nowhere, then things are not quite so steady. And you might have even doubted God's plans for your life. But it tells us in Jeremiah, and this verse is quoted so many times, "I know the plans that I have for you, plans to bless you and plans to give you a future." And on good days, we can feel optimistic. And on the bad days, maybe not quite so much. And sometimes our thoughts might even be, "God, can you show me what you're doing? I don't know if you've ever asked that. God, can you just show me what you're doing?" And then we sit and we wait for that lightning flash of illumination of God showing us his plans. But he doesn't do that. because he needs us to trust him past what we understand. You know, when God told Abraham to take his son and head for the mountain, Abraham realized that if he was going to walk with God, then he had to totally trust his God. And that if God had a plan, then that plan would be beyond his wildest dreams. And God's plan for Abraham was that he would be a father of nations. So much more that he couldn't even number it. It says, more numerous than the grains of sand or the stars in the sky. He had to trust him. When Joseph was sitting in the prison cell waiting for freedom, he must have remembered what God had revealed to him in his dream. But he knew that if he was going to walk with God, then he had to trust him to make those dreams come true. And that God, in fact, did have a plan and a purpose. When he made a promise, he would keep it. When those Israelites were stood at the Red Sea and the enemy was closing in at the back, they said to Moses, "Why have you brought us here? It would be better to serve the enemy than to die in the wilderness." And God answered through Moses, and he said, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. The enemy that you see before you, you will see no more." And salvation is not just about being saved from a circumstance or being saved from the enemy. Salvation is more than that. Salvation, in God's term, is completeness, total wholeness. That is what he was saying to them. Trust me, and that's where I will take you. I will take you into total wholeness, total completeness. You know, and our God, however we describe him, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Heavenly Father, he cannot be measured. You know, this is the God that we've read about that unleashes miracles. He cannot be contained. But our God is a God of love, whose love is eternal. And even that can't be explained. You know, I quite often ask the question, I don't know how you love us so much, Father. You know, why do you love us so much? We're not worthy of that. But, you know, we can stand on those promises because God tells us that we can. And there's a verse in Ecclesiastes 11, and it says, "As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with a child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything." We don't understand how God works, but we stand amazed at how he works. And God sees more than we can see. You know, we have our view. When I said, help me to trust you past what I understand, you know, my understanding of something is totally different than God's understanding of something. It's far, far bigger. He knows more than we know. He works in ways that are beyond our comprehension. And if we agree to follow him, only when we understand what he's doing, then we will always stop short of experiencing the amazing. If we're prepared to follow him past what we understand, then he will take us into experiences of amazingness, if that's a word, because that's what he wants for our life. In Isaiah, it says, in chapter 55, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." You know, when we're in a circumstance that we do not understand, that quite often we actually don't want in our life, that is so hard to comprehend, then maybe the last thing on our mind would be praising God. When we're desperately trying to keep our head above the water. But you know, David praised God in the wilderness, even though he didn't understand why he was running for his life instead of sitting on the throne. The Israelites praised God with a mighty shout, if you remember the story of the walls of Jericho, even though they didn't understand how Jericho's walls would fall without a fight, just a shout. And because we have his word, because we're in a relationship with our Heavenly Father, what I do know about God is far more important than what I do not know. I know that God loves me and he'll never leave me. We sang that in our song, you know, I'll never let you go, I'll never let you go. I know that he's for me and not against me. And I know that God's word is true. And his heart is kind towards me. And I know that when I cry out to him, he hears me and he answers my prayer. And you know, sometimes that prayer is just a tiny whisper. It's all you can get out, is just a tiny whisper or even a sigh, but he hears. And I quite often say this to myself and to other people. God knows, and that is enough. Because when I come to that place where I know that my Heavenly Father knows my situation, then I also come to that place where I know that he is dealing with it. He has it in his hand. He's walking with me over the potholes and the uneven ground, and he will see me through no matter what. So maybe at that point in time, I could pray another prayer. Jesus, give me faith to offer you praise, even when I don't understand your ways. If we can pray that prayer when we are so scared, if we can pray that prayer when we're devastated in a circumstance, if we can pray that prayer when everything around us is falling apart, if we can pray that prayer when our dreams are shattered on the ground in front of us, then at that point in time, we give God permission to complete his plan and purpose in our life and allow healing, restoration, or whatever to take place in our lives. We so need that completeness, that wholeness that God is offering. And I'm just going to finish with another quote that I read on Friday, and this was one from Priscilla Shirer, and it says, I trust the next chapter because I know the author. The author of your life is Father God. He loves you with an everlasting love, and no matter what you're going through, not understanding what is happening, maybe dreading what is on the next page, I feel today that he is saying to you, trust me. Psalm 118 says, I called on the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in an open place. Not hemmed in. The Lord is on my side, and I will not fear. Or maybe just simply, be still and know that I am God. Don't try to understand where I'm taking you. Trust me to hold you. Trust me to complete what I have started. Trust me and you will see my salvation, my completeness, my wholeness. That is what he's saying to us this morning. Trust me. Don't try to understand. Just trust me. As I write the next page of your life, trust me. As I move you on, trust me. I won't let you go. You're not on your own. So that's what I would like to pray for us this morning. That plan, that purpose, and that we're able to just trust him and hold on to him, knowing that he is who he says he is, and he will not let us down. Thank you.
new day. God will not let you down.